Blog Talk Radio.
One particular evening, I had over a dozen
grieving individuals fresh from 9/11 in my home, and I started to do spirit communication. Now, because it was done in a group format, I did it as if it was a theater setting. I stood up, and when images came to me, I just said what the image was, and often the individual that was sitting there would say, "That's my husband," and certain things that I would say, they could recognize their loved one. And it was a very, very moving and emotional experience for me in such a group and such a tragedy for our society. So what happened was I went into the thought process, and spirit communication started coming. And there was one young woman sitting in the audience, and she was saying, "I didn't get anything. You know, everybody, doesn't he want to talk to me?" And many times when an individual, especially in deep grief, doesn't get a symbol, a sign, a message, they become distraught. They start to feel like, don't they want to reach me? Don't they love me? And many times it has nothing to do with the lack of love. It just has to do with how we tweak the energy that comes in, how clear my vision is, and all of these things. So what happened was everybody got something, and I kept getting this image of Big Bird from Sesame Street. And I know we're talking spiritual, we're talking grief, but that's what I saw, and I presented it. And I kept throwing it into the middle of the room, and it kept moving to this woman who said she didn't get any information at all from her loved one and her husband, a fireman, who had passed over in 9/11. And I did forget the woman's name, so forgive me for that. But I kept saying to her, I says, "I have Big Bird here, and he keeps walking over to you." She goes, I don't even have toddlers." She goes, I don't understand why Big Bird." She goes, "I can't take that image." She goes, like that. And as I'm reading and doing spirit communication, Big Bird takes his Big Bird head off, and he's showing me that it's a costume. And then there was a big Christmas scene. It looked like a Christmas party. So I said to the young woman, I said, "Let me tell you," I says, "that this Big Bird, there's a man in there. He says he's your husband, and he's taking his costume off, and he's at a Christmas party." So all of a sudden, she recalled that several years earlier, he had volunteered for the firemen's Christmas party for the children and to hand out Christmas gifts. So he would wear this costume of Big Bird and hand out all these toys for their annual Christmas party for this fire department. With that, she absolutely understood and knew that it was her husband. So what I'm getting is that you really don't know. Spirit could be right with you. Your loved one could be right with you. They may be sending you an image that you're not quite ready to understand at that moment. Sometimes you have to tweak it. Sometimes you ask Spirit. They're not getting it. So give me something else to show them. Well, all in all, she was very pleased later, and she came up to me. She goes, "Oh, man," she goes, "why on earth would he come in as Big Bird?" Like, she couldn't understand the whole process. But in him coming in that way, she had no doubt it was her husband after she remembered he did these Christmas things. Other stories or other situations as far as 9/11 is concerned, there was a great deal of action, let's say, I was very, very busy, let me put it that way, as far as guiding for, I'm a member of what's called IAC, which is International Counselors of Therapists and Counselors. So with that, it helps me work with the individuals who are in grief and things of that nature. And Leo, you and I had spoken a little earlier today, and we were wondering if there was anybody in our quarter of a million listeners out there that would like to call in and share maybe some of their experiences with their loved ones who have passed over, any paranormal experiences, or perhaps I can help guide them to an answer, things like that. So Leo and I had talked about open mic tonight. I don't have the phone number for the call in, Leo. Maybe you could address that.
Oh, sure. Well, anybody who's got this or who is involved with the or has contacted us through the network can see it. But the number to call in is 646-915-9505. Again, that's 646-915-9505. And we'll be taking calls tonight. And if anybody out there is a family member of a 911 responder or whatever, we you know, we'd love to hear from you. But I wanted to ask you, Maria, because I know how your communications work, because you've done several for me over the years, and those images are so very, very real. And so, there they have been for me, that I can tell who's talking to me immediately. But for the 911 families that you counseled, how did they? How were the? What were the visions like? Yeah, how did they appear to you? And what were the, what was kind of
several different. In fact, there was one lady who said that they couldn't find any artifact, any personal effects from her loved one, and they assumed that this individual disintegrated and whatnot. And when she said that, I didn't get a loved one. I mean, I did get a loved one, but I didn't get an image, I didn't get a picture, and I didn't get a voice. So you don't know how they're going to come through. What I saw was a wedding band. And I said, I have a wedding band for you. She goes, oh, today's my anniversary. That's what she tells me. I got the chills up and down. I'm not exempt from being in awe of this work. Right. You know, I got the chills, ran up and down my body. And then 3 months later, she called me back. They found his wedding ring and sent it to
her. Oh, my God. Oh, that's incredible. Yeah.
Things like happen. You know, you don't always know. All I can really do is present those very vivid, clear visions of what shows itself. Now, I need and study the difference between my mind's idea and the clairvoyant vision. It's very difficult for psychics and clairvoyants to literally make sure that you're not using your mind's idea of what the mind thinks it is, because it can interfere and it cannot be the actual clarity that you're seeking from spirit. So there needs to be great discipline in the thought process, my thought process, in my mind, to put the mind aside and just present whatever vision shows itself to me. And as I said, Leo, I'm in awe all the time when these things happen. So that was another individual. And then there was one that I did, and I all I saw was the captain's hat, or the hard hat for the firemen like that, and it said number one. And then I found out this was Captain Judge. He was the first one that passed away. He was the minister or the priest for, I forgot what truck number it was, out here on Long Island. And, of course, his loved one, she said, that's my husband, like that. So the images that came were bits and pieces. It's not like I actually saw the apparition of the person standing in front of me and what it was. It wasn't like that. It was bits and pieces, just like the towers fell, you know, that they crumbled, things one thing on top of each other, and they went through the rubble, and they were looking for little pieces and this and that,
right,
picking up
right.
This and that. We talked about this and that in a different show. But that's how it showed itself to me in the group setting. When I did private settings for these individuals, a lot more came out, private things, you know, pieces of jewelry, pictures, that they're okay. Many wanted their loved ones to know that even that this great tragedy occurred, they still are. And that's something I'd like your listeners to understand, too. Even if our planet wasn't or isn't, we still are. So that's a very hard concept when it comes to grief. It's a very hard concept when it comes to death, because the physical body isn't in existence anymore. But the personality, the spirit, the soul, the universal mind, the oneness of everybody being connected, the self, all of that allows this clairvoyance or the spirit communication to exist. Of course, I practiced it, so it's easier for me than others. I came in with it, so it's very natural for me. But those of you who are seeking any type of guidance or want communication with your loved one that's on the other side, especially in this day of mourning, what would be wise to do is relax your mind, relax your body, and if you're seeking to retire for the evening, call upon your loved one. And I'm sure you talk to them all the time in the mind, the soul, the body, the cemetery, the urns, all of these things. That energy is alive because it was brought about by love, and you can't sever the love. Although you could be in one room of your house and another individual could be in another room, your doors could be closed, but you're all in the same house. It's the same thing with your loved ones on the other side. We're all in the same contact field. Although I might not see my family member in another room, I know that they're there. So in one sense, that type of thought process can ease some of that grief, knowing that they're still here. But many people want something to hold on to. Give me the meat. Remember that old commercial with the meat? You just don't want to say, oh, you got a loved one. They say they love you. You know, a lot of clairvoyants and psychics say things like that. Of course they love you. But what I ask for when we do spirit communication is give me something unique that is to you. Let them know. I'll talk right to spirit. Let your loved one know it's you. You know, I'm not going to tell them what to give me, of course, but that's where we got the wedding ring because she was saying there was no effects left, and sure enough, he said they're going to find his ring, and they did. But those of you, when I said relax your mind, relax your body, close your eyes, and when I said speak to your loved ones, if you're not certain you're getting any type of image or understanding or anything like that, you don't feel connected, then take a deep breath, let go. This is the whole thing. You might be so anxious to receive something that you're blocking it. It's like someone's trying to call you, but the line is busy. So you want to relax your mind, leave your mind open, close your eyes, and visualize your loved one in a happy atmosphere, a memorable atmosphere that, or a memorable memory that was very positive for the both of you. If it's not a memorable, positive one, maybe it was a negative one, maybe there was a fight before you passed over, think of that, forgive yourself, forgive them for leaving you, things of that nature, because so many different thoughts come up in when you lose a loved one, and especially in such a sudden and unexpected way. I don't believe anybody was truly prepared to cross over that day. Maybe they knew it in a previous lifetime. Maybe it was they were chosen to be the heroes, and they were chosen so that the world could wake up to the horrors or the terrorists and things that exist, the evil that exists in the world. So to counterbalance it, even if your loved one, even if they're in another room, know that they still are.
Yeah, I was going to mention
Hear you, Leo. What?
I said I was going to mention something interesting that I read that there was a satellite. There's a constant satellite surveillance over the whole world, okay? And what it does is it tunes in to moments, certain moments or certain high levels of traffic, okay? They call traffic, you know, communications, all right?
Right.
Through the in the world, okay? And where it is and what it is and at what time it is. And so we're under constant surveillance by satellites, okay, as well as other things. But on 9/11, okay, within the first 15 to 20 minutes, all right, of that happening and the announcement of it happening, there was a tremendous surge of communications directed, you know, just all over the world, okay, that within that 15 or 20 minute period of time, all right, that just went, never before experienced in that communication satellite surveillance. And it just showed this tremendous spike of almost everywhere around the world focusing in on New York City, all right, in American America, communications from everywhere around the world, and just a tremendous spike. But it caught me for when I read that, because I thought of how
swift.
Yeah, how fast it was that even before, or maybe even during, that happening, everyone in the world was had some kind of communication device, was focused
online,
on that, and it, at that moment, or within that 15 or 20 minute window. There was just it lasted for quite some time, of course, all day long. But for that period, that first 15 or 20 minutes that it first happened, when it was first announced, and when it went around the world, the shock was overwhelming. The communication waves were overwhelmed. The satellite base was monitoring it. But I thought for a minute that it's almost impossible for that to be relayed to the entire world in such a short period of time. So much of it must have been a telepathic kind of surge.
But the vibration and the octaves of what happened
that caused everyone to tune in or to call or to run to some kind of communication device to find out what happened. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was knowledge alone. They were all seeking knowledge. Everybody wanted to know what was going on, and once the knowledge came out, it starts to destroy the ignorance of what happened. It's the supremacy of the thought process. Everybody wants knowledge. When this happened, everybody wants to know what happened. So there's a surge and there's a flood. But now you're talking about satellite. Think of it 10, 20, 100 times, even faster than the speed of light, that thought processes happen. And it's the same when you're working in the
space. The satellite picked it up, but something that was so profound that it overwhelmed the satellite communicators too. The people monitoring it couldn't believe how billions of people were circuits or whatever it was were directed immediately to New York, and around the world. They just went crazy, and they'd never seen anything like that where. Within a short period of time where billions and billions upon billions of people just were focused on trying to find out what was happening. Can you imagine that? Yeah, it had to be more than just television, it had to be intuition, just something going, I don't know. But it just seems really strange that within that time frame, no matter what time, even in every time zone that it happened, immediately within that one 15, 20, 30 minute time frame, everyone in the world was focused on New York, and I just thought that was amazing to hear that, but because they never really had ever seen anything like that before, that kind of a spike human communications, So, anyway, go on, Maria. I'm sorry, I mentioned that, but I think that we're all linked somehow. It's just that, I don't know. We all ride the same cosmic wave, but in some ways, we're more. At certain times, certain things happen cosmically that make us all focus on one thing at the same time. I don't know. Do you find that to be the case, or do you find that to be the way psychically, or what's your feeling on that? Maria? Oh. I went through that and I just lost her. Let's try her again. Yeah, hang on. Oh. Something happened here. Hang on a second. Calling me back here.
Leo, it's Maria.
Yeah, hi, I got you.
We got some transmission problems. Yeah, I knocked over the receiver and I couldn't get back.
I wondered. I was asking you a question, and then I noticed your line, your number was no longer on the screen.
Yeah.
And I said, "Uh oh, okay."
Well, perfectly, you know, Leo, I'm not there.
But anyway, I was just trying to mention to you. I don't know if you caught that, but I was trying to explain that. Surge during 911 that was seen by the satellites from everywhere around the world. Just kind of was bizarre how people can intuitively know that something is happening, you know, or something has happened, and then suddenly they're trying to find out what it is, you know.
I think before 9/11, 3 days.
Yeah.
Literally 3 days before 9/11, we had a spaghetti dinner here, and the whole family was here and whatnot. And all night, I kept seeing that war statue from World War One, where they have the veteran and they're pulling up the flag. I don't know what it's called, but it's a war statue. And I was getting glimpses of that, and I says, anybody leaving for the service, anything like that? I keep getting this war picture, you know. And then we started talking about how the... We were just finding about how people blow themselves up, bombers and things like that. And the conversation was about these people that sacrificed themselves and blew themselves up for this particular. The whole conversation was about that. And the next 3 days, that image of that statue kept popping up. I had no idea what it was. And then, of course, when 9/11 happened, then I understood. It was telling me that we were going to be attacked. You know, I mean, it was just a picture of war, you know, the whole 9/11 thing. And then I knew why I kept seeing that and talking about blowing up. But yet intuitively, I mean, logically, I had no idea. I didn't see it as an omen. I didn't know the images that I was seeing was related to 9/11. So when you talk about the surge and all this, although I'm more sensitive than other people, there are individuals. For instance, there was this, in fact, a relative of mine that didn't get to work on time for 9/11 because her little girl was the first day of school for her. And what she did was she piled up chairs, one on top of the other, climbed on top to get the cookie jar, fell, broke her arm that her mother, who worked on the top floor for that company that all burned up, that stock company,
yeah. Yeah.
Right? That was her floor. That's where she worked. Her daughter fell, broke her arm. She couldn't go into work because it was her first day of school, so she wound up taking the kid to the hospital to have the child to the hospital to have her arm set. And
oh, wow.
As she's in the emergency room in the hospital, she sees what happens with the 9/11. So there are some people that are guided outside of the situation.
There were many, actually many people that did not show up for work that day. Reasons like that. There were just odd reasons, and some were detained. Others were, you know, something happened. They got tied up in traffic or whatever it was. But whatever it was, they were late, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that did not show that day and were spared. But
I heard hundreds of them. This was a family member. Remember it more. But the individuals that had flats, somebody missed the ferry, you know, it just the experience. So when you're saying the surge that came from the satellite, I think it was a great surge intuitively, like you said, to everybody. And some people
I think so. It seemed like that. It seemed like there was some major psychic send out, that message that was sent out to so many people, and picked up on it, or things just happened. But things that happened during that day, Bill Marshall was, predicted 9/11 to happen.
He did
a year before,
right.
And when he did the inaugural chart of George
right.
W. when he got into office in 2000, and or 2000 2001 whatever it was, and he said that in fact he was quoted and on one of the main papers in this area about his prediction, and it actually came true. He said that the United States would be attacked on 8/46, okay, at 8/46 on September 11th, 2001. And by God, I mean, he was so accurate, it was unbelievable. He hit it right on the head. Yeah. And I was totally floored. And he made predictions all through whenever he was on our program for years. But I had in 2002. I did a television show with him, and he predicted that Saddam Hussein, okay, that we would go, even in 2002, he predicted that there would be a invasion of Iraq, and that Saddam Hussein was going to be killed, all right, and he said when, and he said how, all right, and it was like totally bizarre, because a year later, we went to war. We invaded Iraq, and Saddam Hussein was killed. All right, it was just totally amazing how he predicted that. And I don't know where that but I thought I'd mention it because
yes.
Bill's predictions were just overwhelming.
I told you today I was impressed with Bill and George. And he probably is delighted that you're speaking about his predictions, because they did come out. And not only an excellent astrologer or cosmologist or whatever you want to call him, he was also very intuitive and very psychic. But his psychic and his intuitive nature came out by studying the planets, allowing them to unfold, much like people who study tarot. They could
right.
see things through the image. Bill could see everything through the karmic astrology and the political astrology, or whatever you want to call it, any label.
No, he was very accurate on that. In fact, he also did I Ching, as
right.
well as tarot.
The Orient.
And he was, what's that?
He was very into the Orient study.
Yeah, no, he had a number of different ways of predicting, and his predictions were quite alarming, and quite accurate.
Nostradamus, same thing. Nostradamus. He had many ways predicted, from the sextant, which is the astrology and the planets and things like that, to peering into bowls of water, to staring at a flame. There are many. This is an important thing that you mentioned here, because there are many different ways to receive knowledge. Many different ways, and the rush that you're talking about was everybody wanted to know what happened. And Bill was one of the best when it comes to the astrological interpretations of what was in for humanity, and he was
right.
very accurate.
No,
very
in
accurate.
Fact, Bill's predictions are still out there. I mean, he predicted a revolution in 2015, which is just next year. A tremendous upheaval in the United States. I was looking back at some fascinating things, but he also predicted. He passed away in 2007, but
mm-hmm.
he predicted that in 2009 there would be a worldwide financial depression. okay, there would be a total collapse of the system. And he was he was absolutely right on target. That's exactly when in 2009 was exactly when the bailout began, you know.
Right. And the collapse.
And, massive bailouts. And he just was so right on so many things. And like I said, his last prediction, the last one he made me, was that in 2015 there would be a civil revolution in the United States. So that's kind of, that'll be interesting to see what happens next year.
Many years ago, before I even met my husband here, many, many years ago,
right,
he did a chart for me and he says, you know, he says, Maria, and he says, I'm going to miss you. He says, you're going to be moving off of Long Island. He says, and you're going to be moving to Florida. And I says, oh, I still have my kids were in school, you know, not even out of college. And
how
I
know that?
Florida's not in my vision right now, but he was correct because I have dual residence, you know. I have residence in New York,
right,
and I have residence in Florida too. Because he says, you got this direct line right to Florida, and I says, well, you know. And I'm talking close to 20 years ago, at least.
Oh, wow. I don't know how he could do it, but he had a way that he could see it. And
well, sure, when you're seeking, by law, by cosmic law, it must show itself to you. Energy follows thought. And he's saturated with wisdom, saturated with his knowledge of how the planets work, how the energies work. And again, the more you work with something, that's
right,
how it starts to unfold. And the truth or that knowledge, it's a supremacy of thought. And you take that knowledge, it's going to destroy the ignorance, and it will show the truth to you. So he had a way of an awakening of these energies that he saw exactly what they had to offer. And I miss him. And I'm really pleased that as a friend, and even Leo, all of our friendships here, I'm very, very grateful to have this opportunity to talk about these things and talk about Billy. And I also wanted to say that our summer series on our show, I'll be back for our winter series starting in October. So this will be the last show right now until I take my sabbatical, and we'll come back in October to do the winter series with new questions and things like that. So the listeners out there, any questions on archive shows, or if you're interested in any type of spirit communication, I have a phone number for texting only. If you want to text me with a question, or if you're seeking any kind of spirit communication, the reach number I have is 516-510-2537. I'm saying this now, Leo. I know we have more time, but I wind up talking and I don't get a chance to get things in. So,
did you want to give them your email address as well, or did you want us to stay with the texting?
Stay with the texting, because
yeah,
that is more on my phone than sitting in front of my laptop. So
right,
I'm going to leave that like that. But before we go any further, I want to thank you, Leo, for the opportunity for me to share that which I love, you know, the teaching, the knowing, and sharing information for humanity. So, like I said, before we go any further, thank you for the opportunity. And we are working on co-authoring a book together for the listeners out there. And if there are other shows that you want to go into, there's always the archives in there. Again, any questions, feel free to text me with questions, or if you want any spirit communication. Remember, that's a text number only, 516-510-2537. Back to you, Leo.
Oh, that's okay. No, I like that you mentioned the winter series. All right, I look forward to that. I think it'll be good to meditate a little bit and think about where we want to go further with this program, because there's so much more that we must talk about.
I didn't even scratch the surface. It's Cosmic Law 101. But we've covered tremendous.
And you had one of the fascinating shows. I went back a number of years and a number of programs that we did together. But there was one that you had done that was the now I forget what it was. It was regarding a Catholic mystic, which is I forget his name, and it was the Agony of Midnight or something like that, or the it was a mystic that you had brought up and talked about. How a person's grief and suffering is a communication or a method. It was something about the midnight of the soul. Oh, that's what it was. The midnight of the soul. Remember that?
No, but that's okay. Share it.
I think it was called the midnight of the soul. And it was that point. It was really, really good because you wanted to bring it up because you felt you had a feeling that people needed that message, and it was it's called The Midnight of the Soul, and we read it. It was an actual work, a piece that was written by a Catholic mystic, Spanish mystic, and he and we spoke about it. And we went through quite a dialogue on it, but
you're talking about now.
You don't remember, yeah? And there were so many programs that we did that were so that had such a spiritual message to so many people. I'm looking forward to more of these programs coming up in the fall and in the winter will be really, really something to look forward to doing with you. And
I'm sorry,
go back. I just want it'll give me time to go back over a number of the old shows that we did together and back into the archives and look and listen and bring forward some of that so that we can incorporate it in the new programs. But also incorporated in the book that we hope to have, to work on and complete sometime in the near future. So, we've had tremendous conversations on the show, and I'm so grateful that we've been able to do that. And an announcement to the listeners. And a statement is that your predictions and your teachings have been remarkable. And I encourage everybody to go back and look through the many, many, many programs that we've done, and look for your work. So I'm going to try to incorporate them all into an archive, a specific archive, like I did with George's work.
Right.
We had like 250 programs, but I've got like almost 1,200 programs now, all right, and over the last many years, and we have, you and I have done, I don't know, at least probably 50 to 75 programs, over that time, and through this period between now and the end of the year, I'm going to try to create a new category on my website so that I can incorporate every one of those shows that you and I have done. So it'll be easy for people to go back and listen to.
The first shows we did, and look how far we've come as friends and in the whole.
Oh yeah, I mean we're actually almost our 10th anniversary, I believe. That you and I have been on radio together. I think you had mentioned it was Halloween.
That's where I was. That's why I picked October.
Yeah, I think it was 2004 that
we've come. The very first show was Halloween, and we talked about ghosts and goblins.
Do you remember if it was 2000? Because I started this program, the program on FM with Billy in 2003, all right? And I don't remember. It might have been 2003, October 2003 that we first were on together, and then or it was 04. I can't remember now. I have to go back and look at things. But it's either our 10th or 11th anniversary. All right.
Right.
Of being on our programs and we have a tremendous amount of information to share with people, and hopefully I'll be able to go back and bring those forward and put them all in some kind of categorical order. But right now they're all in the archives, okay, of the Blog Talk archives.
That'll work good to incorporate where we've been to where we are now, and it's that overlapping is what I was thinking about, the ocean, what George and Billy had said, you know, there's an overlapping. So what's happening, it's like the rivers are meeting the oceans, you know, in the nature of this work, where we started out just inquiring about what was All Saints Day, what was the Halloween about, are there really zombies, ghosts and goblins, which is, they're very valid questions, the history of Halloween.
Yeah, we did all kinds of things. And I remember introducing me to the Agni Yoga series, and I did that for a number of months, had you on, in fact, during some of those. But we've transcended so much consciousness in the last 10 years that we've been on radio. Actually, it's more than that now, but 11 years.
Yeah,
but it's 2003, so it's been at least 11 years that I've been on radio and Lila, and but in all those years we've really pushed the envelope. And we're still doing that, and I'm thankful to you for bringing it to the forefront, you know, and being with us through all of this. And
I think
a lot of people are grateful to you as well, you know.
Well, that's ditto over here, because you provide the microphone for these truths and these knowledges. Like you said, naked behind the mic. This is the bottom line. We're going to give out Cosmic Law 101 and help everyone who needs that unfoldment. No creeds, not trying to transform anybody or trying to tell anybody that this is the only way to do things. Those of you who are interested in evolution and self-realization and want to study the cosmology of ourselves and into the paranormal, as well as just interested in understanding knowledge that will destroy any ignorance as light destroys darkness, just remember to think of the highest and the best thoughts at all time. That's just the basic, very first thing, listeners. Highest and best thought as you approach these new areas of consciousness. That's our job, letting one understand the consciousness that we all share.
Yeah.
And it's such a grateful, fulfilling way to work with the intelligence of the infinite, you know. We're preparing, we're in preparation for the new man will be needed in society for the future. You know, everything from cultural achievements to trans-dimensional radio and the goals. And what we did was bring an opening for that gateway that you were seeking, a new hope.
I believe that this is a portal for people to understand themselves and understand the hierarchy that exists within us and within the other realms of existence, and to capture or at least to describe that is quite a difficult task, but it's an honor and a privilege, and a blessing in a way that I feel, because it enlightens us or me, and it enlightens everybody who listens, you know, and brings them to a better level of consciousness, you know. And
what we're watching is that the cosmic man is slowly being born into the evolutionary advancement of where we are.
We need
to investigate and take interest toward the inner dimensions that we have, you know, before we can even journey to other planets or systems and things like that. Let's take the journey inside. Investigate your inner dimensions. You know, and always for the highest and the best in that.
All of the shows that I did with George over the years, there was always the conscious demonstration, or we always brought forward the concept of ascension consciousness, the enlightenment, we're all been leading every day, every week, every month, every year that we were on. We continued to push forward in that thought. And then December 21st, 2012, which unfortunately George didn't reach physically, but we had ascended, all right? And all of humanity did, because at that time, we merged into the Aquarian Age. We ended the Piscean Age. We merged into the Aquarian Age. And all kinds of things started to happen worldwide. Explosions in Egypt and Thailand and United States, everywhere. There were just revolutions and revolutions upon revolutions and revelations and revelations. And we're still struggling with those now, and we're still seeing them erupting all over the world. And that's not going to end, because that is what we are supposed to be experiencing now, which is the awakening, you know, the merging of mankind into the next period of our evolution. And we can see it now. We can see it. And the old world ways are falling apart. The ways of that we all knew, the institutions and the banking and government and morals and society and technology, everything in the last 2 or 3 years has just transcended and transformed into something almost unidentifiable. All right, that from what we knew before, We can barely recognize what's going on now. I mean, anybody who's over 50 years old is going, wow, you know, what's happened to the world? You know?
You never even heard words like the web either.
I know. It's like all of this stuff is new. Like even the stuff I'm doing now, every single day, I just go, oh my God, not something new, another learning curve to produce this show, or to create something on my website, or another update, or another technological, thing that I have to learn.
It's evolutionary advancement.
When I started this 15 years ago on television and radio, the production was primitive, basically. It was videotaped. And it was audio that it wasn't DVDs or instant computer files. It was all, everything you did was on tape, it was on videotape or on audio tape,
Right.
In fact, I remember so well. Your readings, you always put them on videotape, audio tape.
I still do audio. My kids say, Mom.
You still do audio, yeah. And,
you're a clairvoyant, and you're still handing out audio tapes. They don't even make them in the car anymore. But people,
I know. It's silly, but that's the way it is. And, people can do. Friend, Joan Kelgan, she did them on DVDs.
Right. Does them private in front of Judith.
Yeah, she was able to record them on DVDs. But that's how technology has changed so rapidly, and it just has gone from, you know, in 5 or 6 or 7 years, it's just overwhelming. I mean, it's so hard for us to believe that YouTube isn't even a decade old. It's not even 10 years old. It's only like 7 or 8 years old, maybe even 6 years old.
Right.
YouTube.
Right.
YouTube, for crying out loud. The web is so different. I mean, Facebook has only been around for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years at the most.
A lot of new technology that came about was truly
that
born.
Today we can barely even think of not having it. But,
right.
You know, like we always thought it was there, but it wasn't. Just a matter of 5 or 10 years ago, it was a totally different world of communicating. And, it just totally blows my mind to think that we have progressed so far, and we are still progressing, at twice and three times the rate of as fast as we did 20 or 30 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just accelerated and accelerated and accelerated, and that's exactly what this ascension consciousness is about. It's just this rapid rapid acceleration of thought, of knowledge that is leading us to a totally different dimension of earthly dimension, a way that we view the world, you know, and how we communicate with others. I mean, who could have thought? I couldn't have thought 10 years ago when I started just starting my website, all right, that I would be able to communicate with 177 different countries, people from all those countries. Every country in the world is viewing my site, listening to my shows, and listening and reading my websites. It's just like I couldn't believe it. And then here it is, and we're just progressing. The vibration is getting higher and higher and higher and higher, and we're here. We are, you know. So I don't know.
You do know that's why you're in that position, Leo.
Oh, maybe. But I'm looking forward to our winter series where we may be able to melt the snow and ice, you know, with our conversation.
I'm gonna be talking. Florida, so I won't have snow and ice.
You'll be in Florida. Yeah. Well, I'll be up here in northwest Connecticut freezing myself to death. But
my margarita.
My margarita, yeah. But we'll be conversing and communicating. I really look forward to having you back on the show again. And between now and then, we'll be filling the gaps with different topics and guests and so on, but just for everybody to know that we really look forward to having you back on sometime in October and later October, and you will announce that when it comes up, and a whole new series of topics to discuss. So
I thank you for the opportunity, Leo. I just want to put a thought out there just really, really quick. Remember the highest and the best, and remember the word that and thatness. I thought that was one of our greatest shows because
that
I got
a good show, yeah. That was a very good show.
And that means designating something or someone that is not described but easily recognizable. So whenever you use the word that, know that you are a creator and you created this energy and put it into form that you could recognize that. So I appreciate the opportunity to share all this research and knowledge that crosses my path and to share it with your audience and you, providing this channel so that we can take our ideas and step by step make it grow in accordance with the highest and good for all humanity. And I appreciate and your audience. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maria. And we'll talk to you soon. I'll be talking to you before October, but we'll be looking forward to having more
our winter series, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you again, Maria. And and Lila is definitely looking forward anxiously to your research there on her numeral numbers.
I started it. It's getting there, and I'd be more than happy to share that with her. But we're not going to do it over the air.
No. But she's so looking forward to hearing about it. So, but anyway, we'll talk to you soon. And,
all right. And thank your listeners again for. And I want to thank them all for those who emailed me and texted me about what books to read and how they enjoyed the show. I really appreciate the feedback. And if you have anything to say, leave a feedback thing there for Leo. Thank you again, Leo. My love to Lila. And I'll be calling in a couple of days.
Okay.
Not the show.
Okay. Good night. And thank you, everybody who listened. And if you want to text Maria, you can at 516-510-2587? 2537. All right. And they can get a hold of you at that. So good night, Maria.
Good night, Leo.
Bye. Have a wonderful week. Okay,
good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. And I am trying to get my mouse here to work for me, and I don't know why it isn't. I don't know why. Oh, okay. Oh, my God. This is so silly. I can't control my remote control mouse here. But anyway. All right. Don't forget to go back through our archives, and you can find them on my website right now, the last all the shows that Maria and I have